And I'm old Mule Holding Geico. It's cold and rainy, and you probably hear the rain, or you will at some point. It's a lovely background noise bed. Going to wear the shawl on both shoulders today, because as you've noticed several times, it's fallen off of me, and I haven't gotten the wits about me yet to use some kind of a clothespin or closing it. It's too complicated. Just put it on, stay a little bit warmer. Let's talk about Daimoku, yeah? Okay. As I said, it was raining, so walking out to the school, I didn't want to wear my regular glasses because they would get drenched. And I don't know if you wear glasses, but I hate wearing glasses. But without them, I'm almost useless. So anyway, so I have these reading glasses, which mean I have to get up close. Sorry about that. Hope it didn't scare you. All right, the profound meaning of the Daimoku, meanings of the Daimoku, a collection I put together of a handful of letters in Gosho by Nichiren regarding the Daimoku of the Lotus Sutra. Sorry for my voice disappearing in the distance there, but my phone's making noise, so I gotta remember that I need to turn it on airport so it will shut up while I engage you guys. So that's done. Bottle of water, check. This is what it's like when you get older, my friends. You gotta have a checklist for every step you make. New one we're starting. On the meaning of the five characters, Myo, Ho, Ren, Ge, and Kyo. And this is taken from Letter to Jijobo. One of my favorites. Does that ever get old? One of my favorites. This is one of the best ones. Oh, I didn't get much sleep last night, so I might be a bit goofy today. My apologies. Here we go. Oh, I won't lose the shawl, but I'll lose my... If it's not one thing, it's another. I have carefully reviewed your question about the Buddhist teachings. The reward of the Lotus Sutra is a state of life that can only be understood between Buddhas. It's an experience of complete clarity on the process that we're in, moment to moment, life, yeah? It's unlike samsara, which is completely enthralled with the stuff of life. Buddhaness, when we awaken our Buddha mind, perception, awareness, we're in it. We're in it moment to moment, observing the moment to moment instantiation of everything. As opposed to samsara, normal life, our warehouse of collection of things. I know that, I know that, I know that. Right? As if, okay, time for a terrible Sylvanian analogy. You remember, it's an old joke, but it used to make me laugh. Today, we'd have to change it, because the joke was written for those days in a car, when car radios had push buttons to change, like the pre-programmed stations, right? You had like six buttons, and you had maybe an AM station on there for news or whatever, and then a rock and roll station, and maybe a jazz station, and whatever. You had a few, right? Or the dial. So today, whatever, it's Pandora or Spotify or whatever. But have you ever met anyone, or maybe you've been this person, where, especially with, this happens a lot with pop radio, but I imagine it happens in any genre, where you hear the first 10 notes of a song and you go, oh, I know that song. And so you search immediately for another one. It's like, you're not interested in participating and immersing yourself in the composition of the music and the lyrics. You just, I recognize that, know it, next one. Right? That's kind of how samsara is. We quantify, identify, numerate, right? The database, the warehouse of our life, all the things we know, right? That's normal. That's what we do with everything. And then Buddhaness comes along, and suddenly we're in music theory. We're in the appreciation of the relationships of tonal qualities in the universe. The earth has a sound. We've even, you know, we have explorer robots on Mars right now. And we've recorded the sound of Mars. Both above ground, wind, turbulence, so on. And below ground, seismic. Right? It's a different way of thinking about sound. How is it, the pressure waves, how is it produced? How does the ear figure that out? That's a whole different way of experiencing sound, let alone music. And when you experience music that way, you want to sit back and appreciate and savor every single, look, oh, that, the high, oh, the tone, right? You don't even, lyrics, yeah, okay, I'll get to that later. Just listen to, the voice. I don't care what he's saying, what she's saying. Listen to the way, the intonation, the way they climb into an, it's so amazing. It's a whole, right, completely different way. Put that next to the, I know that song. I know that song. I know that song. What are you doing? Right? It's that kind of a paradigm shift. I don't know how else to say it. When we awaken our Buddha-ness, life is a completely different experience. So, the reward of the Lotus Sutra is a state of life that can only be understood between Buddhas. Yeah. Try telling your channel hopper about the qualities of the pressure waves of sound at 440 hertz or so on and so forth, right? It is an inner enlightenment that even the wisdom of Shakyamuni's emanations throughout the 10 directions may be no match for. Now that's an important sentence. I know we're dealing with translations here, but if that captured the essence of what Nichiren was saying at that moment, and it resonates throughout everything I've ever studied about Buddhism. Remember, I've talked about this many times. These stories in the sutras that Shakyamuni shared about other Buddhas, right? Even in the Lotus Sutra, there's him and there's Taho Buddha, and there's all these other Buddhas, let alone bodhisattvas and many, many personages. They're all teaching devices. They're all constructs of Shakyamuni's mind to explore certain facets of the mind, albeit through the medium of telling a story and relationships and so on and so forth, so that we can access his depth of understanding and insights for ourselves. So when we read this word, and it's used a lot, emanations, not sure that's the right word to use unless we really qualify what we mean by it. Because on its surface, emanations means something that comes out of you. We think physically all the time, yeah? Samsara. But the emanations we're talking about here in Buddhism are of the mind. Imaginations, constructions. You come up with a new idea about something. That idea is an emanation of your mind. So keep that straight in your mind when you're reading this stuff. When he says, it is an inner enlightenment, the Lotus Sutra, the Myoho Rengekyo, that even the wisdom of Shakyamuni's emanations, all of his skillful devices, personages, all of that, throughout the 10 directions, may be no match for. Because those are constructions, they're examples, they're tools of analysis for the mind. But the actual experience of enlightenment, those are just signposts and guidance, right? They're not enlightenment itself. That's why chanting Amida Buddha's name is so nonsensical. People don't understand that that's just an emanation. It's an expedient means. It is not the experience of enlightenment. Hard to get somebody to understand that who's Nembutsu, who's been driven into that practice as though it was getting them anywhere. It's halting them. That's why Nietzsche is so upset about that. All right, moving on. That is why, as you well know, even the great teacher Tendai commented on the character Myo, saying that it is defined as beyond ordinary comprehension. Right? It's not samsaric. It's not physical in nature. It's a mental experience that goes beyond simply cataloging, identifying. It's outside, it contains the database without being part of the database. It's more the operating system. I don't know, we can get in the weeds here. As for this sutra, however, it is divided into various practices. These are the teachings that were known only by men such as Tendai, Miao Lo, and Dengyo. The great teacher Dengyo in particular, even though he was the more recent manifestation, if you will, what's the word I like to use? The embodiment of Tendai, sent envoys to Tang China on many occasions in an effort to resolve the doubts of others. So what is really important is that the teachings of the mutual possession of the 10 realms, the 10 worlds, of the 100 worlds and the 1,000 factors, and of the 3,000 realms in a single thought moment in life, are the essence of this sutra. Why? Because what does the 3,000 realms really represent? 3,000 realms of being, because that's what the realms are, right? From hell to Buddhahood, they're modes of being, mental experience. 3,000 realms in a single thought moment. How long is a moment? We've talked about that. I've referred to Planck time. It's so small you can't perceive it unless you have thousands of them, and then maybe you can consider that length of time. But time is always an issue in Buddhism because we construct time with our experience. Yeah, I know, it gets a little... You don't even have to go that deeply into the minutiae, but understand that the 3,000 realms in a single thought moment is the very dissection of the experience of experience. How else to say it? Experiencing the actual process in its moment-to-moment instantiation of life manifesting from potential, from potential, from potential, brit-dit. That's what the 3,000 realms is. That whole teaching. These teachings are described in the work entitled Great Concentration and Insight, a work by Chiche Tendai. Next, the teaching of the lifespan chapter is what I, Nichiren, personally depend on. Although Tendai and Dengyo also understood it in a general way, they never put it into words or proclaimed it. The same is true of Nagarjuna and Vasubandhu. The verse section of the chapter states, quote, single-mindedly desiring to see the Buddha, not hesitating even if it cost them their lives, end quote. This is from the lifespan chapter. This is when the Shakyamuni Buddha drops the mic in the Lotus Sutra. He says, I ain't Buddha. Buddha is something that exists before time. Buddha is a condition of awareness of this whole process. And the only place you can be aware of it, like my example, is as a being with a sentient mind. Everything else, even non-sentient things, beings, are experiencing Buddha as the process of life. But being aware of it, your Buddhahood, your Buddha-ness, is exclusive to your sentient mind. It's precious. It's so rare and it's so short. Why would you waste any time doing anything else? As a result of this passage, I have revealed the Buddhahood in my own life. The reason is that it is this sutra passage that has enabled me to embody the three great secret laws, or the reality of the 3,000 realms in a single thought moment of life that is found in the lifespan chapter. But keep this secret, keep it secret. Because in medieval Japan, or even today, if you go around telling people about this 3,000 realms in a single thought moment, without their prior knowledge of chanting, of Buddhism, of understanding the goal of enlightenment, they might look at you and be afraid, think you're cuckoo. Certainly, they will build walls of resistance. And you don't want to do that. We're bodhisattvas. We want to invite people to discover this for themselves. So that's why he says, keep it secret, secret, keep it secret. Remember, this is a reply to Gijo Bo. And this was written in 1273. So this is after his exile to Sado, right? And at this point, when Nichiren is in Sado, he comes to these more profound realizations of how he needs to nurture his followers instead of just telling them what to do. He needs to have some compassion for realizing their state of life. Are they servants? Are they, who's their master? Are their lives in danger? He has to not only be careful with them, but be careful for them, instruct them in a way that protects them. Yeah, this is one of the great shifts, as we've read before, of his lifetime when he's in exile on Sado Island. Yeah, he continues, the great teacher of Mount Hiei, Dengyo, journeyed to China and received instruction on the point of this passage, single-mindedly means the one pure way, and mind means all phenomena. Now you'll recall I've talked about the three bodies of Buddha being this body, the body that experiences reward, and the body that is, in fact, the entire universe. All physical reality is the Dharma body. Remember me saying, quoting an old Motown song? I'm not going to sing. You are everything, everything is you. It sounds trite, but it is an actual fact. Every atom, every electron, photon, quark that makes up your DNA, your blood, your flesh, your nose, it's exactly the same stuff that the everything in the entire universe is constructed of. Really, really consider that. So the Dharma body of Buddha is the universe. This local apparatus body, this is our vehicle. But what good's a vehicle without a destination? What's it for? To experience the totality of the body, the universe, the formation of it, moment to moment, constantly happening. That's the reward. That's the enlightenment. That's the awakening. Those are the three bodies in one. One what? This? No, one experience. And this is what we keep talking about here. Single means single-mindedly, means one way, the one vehicle, the Myoho Renge Kyo. Our commitment, present and invoking, Na Mu Myoho Renge Kyo, is single-mindedly, the mind being all phenomena. Because the mind is an emergent property of what? The apparatus, the body, not just this body, the body. Follow? That is why the great teacher Tendai, explaining the Chinese character for mind, said that its four brush strokes represent the moon and the three stars. And that this implies that the mind of the effect of Buddhahood is pure and clean. I, Nichiren, say that single stands for myo, or wonderful and difficult to understand. Mind for ho, or law. Desiring for ren, or lotus. See, experience for ge, or flower, and Buddha for kyo, the experience of the Dharma itself, or sutra. In propagating these five characters, practitioners should not hesitate, even if it costs them their lives. Single-mindedly desiring to see the Buddha may be read as follows. Single-mindedly observing the Buddha, concentrating one's mind on seeing the Buddha, and when looking at one's own mind, perceiving that it is the Buddha. Having attained the fruit of Buddhahood, the eternally inherent three bodies, I may surpass even Tendai and Dengyo, and excel even Nagarjuna and Mahakasyapa. The Buddha wrote that one should become the master of one's mind rather than let one's mind master one's self. This is what I mean when I emphatically urge you to give up even your body and never begrudge even your life for the sake of the Lotus Sutra. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Man, if I could put that last paragraph on a refrigerator magnet. How many times it, maybe, you know, take that, this, just, it's a short letter. Maybe print this out and put it on a plaque and keep it on your altar when you chant to remind you, this is what I'm doing. Namu myoho rengekyo. Poof. Buddhahood is so immense. And I'm experiencing it through this little... Right? With this body. It's only a third of the formula. This body is the experience that it affords us. And how do we have that experience? Through the mind. Namu myoho rengekyo. What a powerful thing to consider. Read and reread this short letter. How emboldening, empowering, how profound is the act of invoking Namu myoho rengekyo. This is our practice, my friends. This is what's so difficult for people to understand unless they do it. They do it for themselves. So this is how we bodhisattva. We create an example, a shining example of life condition that they can't help but being attracted to. And those that aren't ready or that would be a distraction and take us away from this, they simply don't enter our environment. They start disappearing. You'll notice it. After a while, you'll notice that certain types of people, they don't seem to occur in your life anymore. That's your karma, your energy, the way it's influencing and creating like a force field around you, communicating with the source of life throughout the universe. It's amazing. I'm not being, you know, I use this word all the time, but for some reason when the camera's rolling, hyperbolic. Thank you. Namo myoho rengekyo. I'm not being hyperbolic. It may sound like it. But it, Buddhism and Buddhahood is really, it's unimaginably immense. Every moment. This is why only other Buddhas can understand this. Only someone else who has had that moment while chanting, feeling this immensity of everything all at once, without being overwhelmed, just being in it, the flow. You know. You can't explain that to somebody. You can only lead them to it. That's why we can't give Buddhahood to somebody. Right? It's just like this mandala. Nichiren understood this. That's why he made the mandalas and gave them to people so that they could enter their Gohanzen mind. He distributed them, whoever needed a focal point to get this teaching, he made this universal. Right? You don't have to qualify for Buddhahood. You already have it. So these groups and organizations that say, well, if you do this good enough, you can get one. That's just a bait and that's control. That's authoritarianism. That's not Buddhism. That's insulting. Oh, if you're good enough, we'll give you a tool and maybe become a Buddha someday. Screw you. Get out of the way. Who the hell do you think you are standing in the way of my Buddhahood? You can't do that. You can pretend. Right? No. This mandala is universal. You should be able to get it easily. CafePress.com/GoHunzen. A Nichiren inscribed, right? Not Bob's GoHunzen copy, right? I don't want his portal. I want mine. Namo Myoho Rengekyo. It's simple. It's already, you're in manifestation of it. You simply need to realize it, right? Isn't that what Nichiren and everybody else keeps saying? Self-realizing, self-manifesting Buddha-ness. It's in our Gongyo. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your practice above all. Please support this channel, this Sangha. Help it grow on YouTube by liking and subscribing these little videos. You can download them as podcasts to listen to anytime. All these videos, I strip the audio and put them up as podcasts, so freely available. ThreefoldLotus.com, lots of free information you can download, help you study with others, you know, do little study groups, however it works for you. Just encourage others in any way you, but first, chant. That's the first thing and the last thing. Open and close your discussion of Buddhism with invocation of Buddha. I mean, how much more sense could that make? And do the same for yourself in the morning and in the evening. Awaken your Buddha-ness, go through the day, enjoy what there is to enjoy, suffer what there is to suffer, and at the end of the day, resolve it and go to sleep with your Buddhahood alert. All right, I'll let you go. I deeply appreciate your practice and your support. Patrons, you guys are awesome. Every now and again, we pick up a new, you're available, your fortune comes up, and you're able to help support us financially to keep the bills paid, to keep us going. Thank you. Thank you for that. But even if all you can do is like and subscribe, that's very meritorious. It's Buddhahood. It's expanding the Sangha's reach, right? So don't feel like you've failed if you can't afford to help. But don't hesitate if you can. It's a brilliant cause for your life and the Sangha. And I'm here to tell you thank you. Okay? Take care of your health. Be kind to yourself. And I'll see you in the next one. Bye for now.